You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. It's Cakes, EB, and JP. Loving the show these days, talking more and more football, and joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's our pal Mike Florio, creator, editor of ProFootballTalk.com. Now, Mike, there's really no NFL offseason, but I'm wondering, do you find like a little window when you can take a little break?
No.
Sucks.
Now, there is a stretch. After the draft, it changes. It's less intense. And then you get through May and into June and the off-season workouts end, and you have, you know, 4 or 5 weeks where life is manageable, and our weekday show PFT Live on Peacock and Sirius XM 85 goes on hiatus for about 5 weeks, and then it all starts up again. But it never goes away. It never stops. There's always something happening. There's always someone making news, even when nothing's going on. It's one of the great things about the NFL. It's become a 365-day-a-year obsession. There's always people out there looking for more. So, and again, I'm not complaining because it's not like I'm breaking rocks or, you know, working in a steel mill or anything like that. It's pretty easy work, and I enjoy it. So I'm kind of glad it never really slows down, and it's going to pick up pretty quickly here. We got 3 weeks until the game gets started.
Mike, you do PFT Live with Chris Sims. When did the button the shirt all the way to the top thing become like his thing? I feel like he owns that now. Like, that's his look. Has he always done that?
He's been doing it since he was a little kid. Like, he's really set in his ways, and that's just his thing. He's been with me now for 5 years, and there's never been any deviation from that. That's just the way he does things, and I assume at this point in his life, he's going to be 42 soon. He's never going to change.
Looks uncomfortable. But anyway, that's a non sequitur, but your lead story on ProFootballTalk.com is Baker Mayfield, as expected to be named the week one starter in Carolina. I don't think anybody's really surprised by this, especially the way Sam Darnold went into the tank, and the team, of course, followed him straight into the tank late last season, basically after their first month. What sort of stability do you think Baker Mayfield brings there? And I think if the defense improves, it could be an 8 or 9 win team if McCaffrey stays healthy.
They have a very talented defense that gets lost in the shuffle when the offense isn't doing well. It puts more pressure on the defense, and it doesn't matter how many points the opponent scores if the offense can't respond. And Christian McCaffrey's been banged up a lot the past couple of years. It's not his fault. The position is conducive to guys getting hit and guys getting hurt, and he got paid at the right time because his career hasn't been the same as it was. He was one of the few 1,000-yard rushing, 1,000-yard receiving guys in league history when he did it a few years back. So, you know, if he stays healthy and if Baker Mayfield stays healthy, I think it's going to be on him to be effective and healthy. Last year, he was kind of able to will his way onto the field when he maybe shouldn't have been playing with that injured non-throwing shoulder, because he was in that vibe and that attitude in Cleveland where it was his job, it was his gig, no one was going to take it from him, and the coaching staff wasn't going to sit him down. I think in Carolina, the coaching staff is collectively on the hot seat. And if there's anything that keeps Baker Mayfield from being the guy that's earning this week one job, they'll go with Sam Darnold just to save their own asses. So he's going to have to play well. He's going to have to stay healthy. And I'm surprised it took this long to get to the point where he's the starter. I think they had to be sure that the locker room would get behind Baker Mayfield and that he had to earn it on the field in a head-to-head competition with Sam Darnold. But the thing about having a competition, when you have a guy who just came through the door, every rep that goes to the other guy is one less rep that goes to the guy who's going to be the week one starter. And I just wonder, is he going to be as ready as he could have been if they just would have gone all in with Baker from the first day of training camp?
What happened with their squabble or skirmish with the Patriots?
Well, look, this is a common theme when you have these joint workouts, and this is why a lot of coaches won't do them, or they'll only do them if they have a clear assurance from the opposing head coach that none of that stuff is going to happen. And it did get out of hand a couple of times. I am surprised that it did, because I would think that Bill Belichick would only go forward with these Panthers joint practices if he thought Matt Rhule would have his guys under control. And you assume Belichick always has his guys under control. Nothing good comes from fighting in the preseason. It's just an unnecessary opportunity for a guy to get injured. And we see it, though. We see it. And I still am surprised that at this point we see these things happen. Guys get frustrated. There's less accountability when you're only seeing a guy for a day or two as opposed to seeing him every day. But I would think that at this point the coaches would have hammered into the brains of every player that this is just something you do not do.
All right, let me ask you a few Commanders questions. First of all, and this is something I keep asking every guest that we have on, and I get pissed because I'm like, this is just national narrative. People that are here locally, I feel like we know better. And everyone just hypes up the defense every year and all these first-round picks and their defensive line. That defense has been awful last couple years. Why does everybody keep saying that? I understand that this year we're playing a softer schedule in theory, but we didn't really add any new starters. In fact, they subtracted, even though he was controversial, Landon Collins, who was impactful in the second half of the season. Chase is out for, he's going to miss a significant amount of time, in my opinion. He had a terrible year last year. Why does everybody keep talking about how this is some big defense?
To the extent there's a national narrative this year, I have not thrown any logs on that fire. Last year, yes. This year, no. And look, the thing about the NFC, you've only got a small handful of teams that really stand out. After that, who knows what happens. And the Commanders continue to be in the division where none of the above wins the division and hosts a playoff game. So the path is easier than if they'd be anywhere else in the league, really. Even though the Eagles are showing real signs of improvement, and who knows with the Cowboys, but the NFC is wide open, and that's what saves Washington. They would be screwed if they were in the AFC. And even with all that, there's just a sense of blah around the team right now, and nothing they do, nothing they say, nothing they try is going to change. The only thing they can do is go out and win football games, and we'll see. But I don't think of that defense this year the same way I did last year, in large part because we had high expectations and they failed to live up to them.
Right. Where are you on the Carson Wentz deal? The Carson Wentz slander, in my opinion, is outrageous. It's way beyond what he's actually accomplished in the league. He's had bad years, but he's also had good years. People act like he's a complete incompetent. Where do you stand on that?
Well, last year I was intrigued by what would happen, given that he was basically kicked out of Philadelphia and welcomed in by a family member. It had a little Fresh Prince vibe to it, although it wasn't all the way out in L.A. He went to Indy, and he got together with Frank Reich, the guy who was the offensive coordinator when he was in Philadelphia, and he was on track to have an MVP season in 2017 before he tore his ACL in December against the Rams, and then we know what happened after that. They go on and win the Super Bowl, and they ended up keeping Carson Wentz beyond 2018 when he got injured again and Nick Foles took him to the final eight. He had that safe harbor last year with Frank Reich and it all blew up again and they ran him out of Indianapolis after only 1 year. So I'm a firm believer, the question that was posed to him last week that was supposedly so offensive to the sensibilities of team president Jason Wright, that's what everyone's saying. He got kicked out of Philly and now he's been kicked out of Indy. This is it for him. And when they made that trade, I said at the time, look, I remember seeing Ron Rivera on the Amazon All or Nothing the year that they were embedded with the Panthers. You get Ron Rivera in the locker room, he communicates very differently, far more pointedly and far more profanely than you ever hear him at a press conference. And I suspect that Rivera, unlike anyone else, could get through to Carson Wentz and say to him, hey, man, this is it. That's what surprised me about Jason Wright's reaction. Nothing that these guys are going to hear from a reporter, they surely haven't already heard from Ron Rivera, especially Wentz. Hey, Carson. Hey, buddy. This is it, man. You know, you can do the hard parts of the job. It's the easy parts of the job that you've screwed up. You've got to be available to your teammates. You've got to be in a position where these guys don't view you as aloof. You've got to make better decisions with the ball. You can't treat every play like it's the last play of the Super Bowl. You got to know when to call it a day and not try to do something that your body won't let you do. And every once in a while you see a guy like that, whether it's Carson Wentz, Jameis Winston does this from time to time, where they think they can do more than they can, so they try to do that thing that they can't do, and you end up having a left-handed throw that gets intercepted for a pick six or some other goofy thing where you just held onto the ball too long, you thought something was going to happen that didn't happen. If they can work that out of his game, then he can be better. But he did get thrown out of Philadelphia. He did get thrown out of Indianapolis, and this is a
Mike, when you say he got thrown out, because we've debated this on the show, and I want to get your take. You're an insider. You talk to people. How much was it owner-driven, and then where does the GM and the coach come in? Because some people think, oh, is the owner just didn't like him, they moved on. What really happened there in Indianapolis?
Well, I mean, there was a fracture between him and Doug Peterson, but how much of that was coming from the top of the organization? How much did they just get to the point where they just recognized, you know, we need a franchise guy, we thought it was going to be him, and it just isn't, so it's time to move on. You know, the Eagles have been kind of a low-key version of what we've seen from the Panthers in recent years, where the Panthers are just desperate to find a franchise quarterback, and David Tepper thinks he can write a big enough check and go get one. The Eagles have been on the hunt for a franchise quarterback for a decade. Now, really, ever since Donovan McNabb had his game start to fall apart and they dumped him on, as you guys don't need to be reminded of where he ended up. But I remember Jeffrey Lurie saying back in 2013 that our biggest obligation right now is to find a franchise quarterback. And not long after that, Nick Foles threw 7 touchdown passes against the Raiders, and they thought they had him. And what a weird story. When you broaden the lens, they thought they had him in Nick Foles. They dump him for Sam Bradford. Then they get Carson Wentz. Then Foles is there as the backup, and he wins a Super Bowl for the Eagles. They've won a Super Bowl, and they haven't found a franchise quarterback. And I just think they recognized that Carson Wentz wasn't going to be
all right,
the guy.
So that's so Philly.
Other than that is detail. They decided he wasn't going to be the guy.
Yeah, but he was talking about Indy.
Yeah, that's Philly. Mike, that's Philly. What happened in Indy?
See,
is that Ursay-driven?
That was Ursay-driven.
Was there something else?
Well, it was Ursay-driven because Wentz wasn't good enough. Wright probably would have kept him. Frank Reich's lucky he didn't get fired. He's lucky he wasn't. I thought the way, if you think about it, the table's set. All you got to do is go beat the Jaguars, the hapless Jaguars, in Week 18 when they're playing for nothing. They're just waiting to get this game over with so they can pack their stuff and go home. And the Jaguars beat them with a playoff spot on the line. I'm surprised Ursay didn't fire everybody after that game. I think Chris Ballard, a very calming influence, and knows how to communicate with Jim Ursay and talked him into giving Frank Reich another chance. But that was owner-driven, and it was necessary. I mean, you look at the mess the Colts have been in, where it's like you spin a wheel every year to find out who your quarterback's going to be. This year they had Matt Ryan falling to their laps out of the sky, which is just an amazing turn of events how that happened. Really, if Deshaun Watson doesn't pull the Falcons to the table in the competition to trade for him, I think Matt Ryan is still the quarterback in Atlanta right now. So it worked out, but Wentz, you know, again, the flaws that we've seen in the game, the fact that he tries to do too much, he doesn't know when to cut it off, he doesn't know when to just slide, get out of bounds, throw the ball away, live to see another play, don't do something stupid that causes the game to implode, and just the inability to go out and beat one of the worst teams in the league when your playoff berth was sitting there waiting to be seized, that's the unforgivable sin. And it really, look, I didn't have a problem with it when Washington did it. I don't know who else they would have gotten. I don't know who else ultimately would have agreed to go there. It's one thing, you got to find a guy that's available, and you got to convince him to come play for you. There's
Definitely.
A chance. And if it doesn't work, he's done. He's either perennial backup or he's out of the NFL. But this is it for him as a starter.
We're joined by Mike Florio, creator and editor of Pro Football Talk, at Pro Football Talk on Twitter. It's becoming more apparent every day that Ron Rivera is not in love with Antonio Gibson. He's not in love with the fumbling, and he hates his running style where he pitter-pats instead of hits the hole hard, like the recent third-round pick, Brian Robinson out of Alabama. Talk about the murky situation at running back here in Washington.
Well, you know, running backs, one of the few positions in football where the supply outweighs the demand. And if there's a guy who isn't getting it done the way the coach wants it, there's going to be somebody else on the depth chart or somebody else available in trade or cut by another team or just free agent hanging around. It's a skill that a lot of guys have. And there's value in youth, health, and doing what the coach wants. So if you're not doing what the coach wants, you're not going to survive. And you're going to end up at best in a revolving door with a bunch of different guys getting options, or at worst, you're just not going to have a chance, and you're going to be either on the bench or off the team. And again, that's one of those few positions where if the guy that's out there isn't getting it done the way the coach wants, it's easy to find somebody else who will.
What kind of rookie campaign do you foresee for Jahan Dotson, who was selected first by the Commanders in the most recent draft?
Well, you know, I know there's been some buzz about him, but it all comes down to who's getting you the football. Can Carson Wentz get him the ball? And how big of a chunk of that passing game is going to go to him versus Terry McLaurin? And how are teams going to cover? Are they going to shade extra toward McLaurin? Is that going to create opportunities for Dotson? Is he going to have to prove that he can beat single coverage on a consistent basis before they start focusing on him? So, you know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, on these first-round receivers. One of the ingredients, I think, in being a really great receiver for some, like a Michael Thomas, and I call it the Michael Thomas effect, where you go lower than you think you should have gone, and that really gives you motivation and drive, and you focus, you don't get complacent, you're really driven. And I don't know what Dotson's mindset is, but a lot of pressure on the first-round guys. There's so many of them this year, and there's so much expectation. They just walk through the door, and they end up being great. But for every Justin Jefferson, there's an N'Keal Harry, and it's part of the fun of watching it all shake out and see what these guys do when it's time to suit them up and play with some of the best players they'll ever see in their lives on the other side of the ball.
Mike, we know you're super busy. We always appreciate the time. It's Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Thanks again. We'll have to have you on again soon.
Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Good talking to you guys.
All right, pal.
It's Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. When we come back, we will get into EB's entertainment page. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Coming up before the show is over, we will give you a chance to win a pair of Beach Boys tickets for their concert at Wolf Trap, August 28th. You can buy your tickets right now at wolftrap.org, but we'll give you a chance to win them before we're done.
People like to call cakes box. I don't even know who came up with that. Might have been me, might have been EB, whatever. You had a pivot there because on the copy it says The Wolf Trap. Good job. It's just Wolf Trap.
JP, I can adapt. I can pivot when needed. Now, sometimes I will read the copy word for word, and it screws me and it bones me, but that time I avoided the pitfalls.
Well done.
Thank you.
All right, boys, want me to tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment?
I'm expecting entertaining stories.
No promises.
A plethora
your cakes.
Of them.
No promises.
Is the lead that the new Odyssey app is silly?
I think
that's what I've heard.
That's the lead on, maybe, on Valdez's EP.
Maybe next segment. We can do it now if you want. So I tried to update the app, Valdez, and it just says there's no update available. Maybe it's already working.
Could but be.
Probably already working for you.
A lot of people have been complaining about the Odyssey app, and I get it.
That's the old app.
But I'm looking at it today. It's the same one, but there's breakdowns. Like, every segment's labeled.
Yeah, then there's an easy way to go to all the original podcast content, like Bit Season.
Uh-huh.
nice example.
They have, like, if you go down YouTube wormholes.
Okay.
So, like, you could say you want to start listening to clips about the Commanders.
Okay.
You could just listen to one-minute clips from previous dates.
Now, is this going to help us get our ratings back to where they need to be, or what?
I think it's going
to
help.
We need our people to listen harder.
But this will not. This is not going to affect downloads, right? Because essentially what people are doing now, you can go to the app and essentially call up a segment. So that's going to hurt our downloads.
I think it's all relative in terms of your
ratings.
It's
going to hurt Chris Lingbach's show?
It's going to hurt. I thought the company was all about downloads.
What?
I thought the company was all about downloads.
We want listening, period. Doesn't matter how you do it.
All right.
You guys will get rated for it. Don't worry.
Just listen intently.
All right, so check out the new Odyssey app that everybody bitches about. Now, somebody said...
Somebody just came in and started raving about it?
You were mocking
you were mocking me.
Is this a bit... Are you doing an elaborate
Well, because
bit
in the last week, I actually brought this up. It seems like daily, before today, we were getting complaints about the Odyssey app. Hey,
we were, but keep in mind, the company was
building... It was under construction.
Yeah, it was building a brand new app from scratch.
Credit. Sometimes when you roll out something new, it's going to have some glitches and bugs. And apparently,
That was the old app. This is the brand
this
new.
This is brand
selling.
Spanking right,
here's,
new.
Here's could cakes. Here's could cakes live at the MGM.
I mean, yeah. I probably could.
Boom.
It's all labeled. You can jump to it. So that way you can skip the entertainment page.
Right.
How dare you?
All right, seriously.
No, but it's actually kind of wild if you check it out. Literally every segment is... Now, there's one... This is weird. One segment, it's a one-minuter. We didn't do a one-minute segment.
That's just one of your live reads. So you want to hear your silly FanDuel live read, they'll go to it.
Live reads are included in here?
That's something that needs to be addressed.
Hey, maybe the P1s want to hear all the live reads. Who knows?
All right, hold on. Let me turn this down. I'm just trying to figure
out.
The only one
they want to hear is your old Ferris spot.
Well, that spot should go in the Radio Hall of Fame. It's the greatest drunk live read in the history of radio.
Now, hold on. Who's labeling these? Is this like...
That's John.
John's labeling each segment as it occurs?
And me.
And you.
Yes. Why is the label... I misspell something.
Fine. Right. No, it's fine.
It's each label. The junks are stupid. Like, the junks are idiots.
He is excited for Papa John's keto bowls. All right. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here. But then I did see one segment was a one-minuter, but it says part 17. That must have been one of my silly FanDuels.
Yeah.
Rom, put it in your Romchives. Even the 1 minute segments, they all count.
All right. So everybody download the new Odyssey app. If you've given up on it in the past,
it's new and improved.
It actually looks like it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then this is not me being a company man.
Mm. No, I mean, literally every segment. This would be like if we downloaded like the podcast.
I still have my suspicions, Valdez. But I will look at it after the show.
No, I can see this. Like, if I'm at home and I want to see what, like, the boys are talking about, like Ray and Danny are talking about, I can actually see
all
the segments.
Go, oh, man, did they talk about, did they do their game balls and gassers yet?
Hey,
because if they did, it would be labeled on there.
Did the jokes talk about...
And if you missed it, boom, I'll just go hit it on there.
Did EB do another story about Amber Heard and Johnny?
Oh, Eric's EP's here. Did he talk about, Britney Spears posing nude.
You know, I don't have an Amber Heard, Brad Pitt, or Amber Heard, Johnny Depp story, but there was a Brad Pitt story that it's not in here, but I'm just going to do it off the top of my head. Oh. But they're saying that that some of the relationship may have started to fray. I always thought that it didn't make any sense that Brad Pitt went around banging all the celebrities and then he settled down with Angelina Jolie and her 100 kids. This made no sense to me. Like, just.
Yeah. Didn't they adopt some together?
I think so.
They did adopt
it. It was just like, my God, I think most of them are adopted. I'm like, what is he doing? He just threw his life away to go raise and save all these kids. Like, it didn't seem like a Brad Pitt kind of thing.
It's an actually noble thing, but yeah, it doesn't really.
He just went from a dog to this obedient husband.
Yeah, like foster parents. Right. But apparently they're saying he told her one of her kids looked like she was a frigging Columbine shooter. And then he started goofing on another kid. That didn't go over well.
I could see why that wouldn't go over well.
Yeah. All right.
Can you not find the drop cakes?
I can't find Angelina Jolie. I can't find it.
Is it from our guy Larry?
Yeah. Of course it is. It's from our friend Larry.
Larry's been back active on Twitter of late. Have you spoken to
him? He's unhinged.
Yeah. He actually wanted us to set him up with some big old jugged chick. Did you see that?
Yes, an adult film star.
Is that who
Angelina
it is?
Jolie.
I think so.
Yeah.
Isn't that his specialty?
I mean, look, I know Larry has.
Could I just get a one Larry's day with
got,
her?
He's got some life struggles.
Yeah.
But even with all of those, how does he think that we have some sort of connection to the woman with the giant jugs? How does he think that's possible?
He feels like we could get him a date. Like, or, you know, he basically could have his way with her.
Here's a bulletin to Larry. We can't. We can't help you in that
endeavor. Is the Bunny Ranch still a thing? Or since our guy passed?
Dennis Hoff pours some out for him tonight. I think it's still a thing.
Could we send Larry to the Bunny Ranch? No.
Maybe back in the year 2003. Do you have a time warp that I don't know about?
Yeah, it's not cool in 2022 anymore, Case?
Probably not.
Oh. All right.
Those segments were entertaining. I don't think you can find those on the Odyssey app.
All right. This story is making me crazy. Taylor Lautner, who you're familiar with because you're big into that whole world, right?
Of course. Of course, he played Jacob in Twilight.
Right. I've never seen one second of Twilight.
Nobody is Team Jacob, by the way. Everybody's Team Edward. If you're Team Jacob,
which
you're
one
a
was
loser.
Edward? He's that skinny dude?
Yeah.
He's the vampire.
Yes. What's the dude's name in real life?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Also
what
plays,
superhero?
You ever hear of Batman? that character?
Yeah, he didn't make sense as a Batman to me, but maybe he was great.
I think he got some rave reviews for
he
being...
He was fine.
I think
he was in the suit
actor.
The whole time.
He's a very good actor.
But Taylor Lautner is apparently...
Who we've seen in person, by the way.
We saw him in Indianapolis at Super
Correct.
Bowl.
Correct.
St. Elmo's.
Yeah.
The overrated shrimp cocktail or whatever it was.
You know, I was just in Indy, and I walked by St. Elmo's
everything.
Every day. Yeah.
Why was it so overrated?
The steak was mediocre.
The steak was terrible.
They pushed... Navy bean soup on you. I don't want bean soup. I want a good soup if I'm going to eat a soup.
It's the shrimp cocktail. They just put all the horseradish.
Right, just dump it all in there.
Yeah.
Ooh, so we made it spicier than everybody else. What a calling card.
But Taylor Lautner is engaged to a woman, and her name is Taylor Dome. Okay. And she's going to change her name to Lautner, so it's going to be Taylor Lautner married to Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner times two. I love it.
Has that bit happened before?
I can't think of it.
Like,
that's kind
of
weird.
You
got to
think of like unisex. Like, has an Ashley ever married a guy Ashley?
I'm sure.
And then now they're both Ashley.
Probably.
Or a Sam married another Sam.
That's happened.
A Sam Bradford married a Sam.
Like he married a Samantha.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I'm sure it's
I mean, I don't know if it happened with Sam Bradford, but some unisex names are pretty common.
Maybe not in this is the first time in Hollywood I can think of it.
Does anybody
That'd
know?
That'd be like
it
if
is?
You married someone named Erica. Eric and Erica.
No, that would be different.
That would be Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to marry someone named
Eric. He said
the
unisex name, like Taylor.
Yeah.
Or...
There's no female Erics.
No, there aren't.
If
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, you never know. Sam. It could be. Who knows?
Charlie.
I watched the first 40 minutes of the
Manti Te'o thing.
I have so many questions.
Yeah. Right. Me too.
There's a lot going
Why
on.
Why only 40?
Because I need at some point I need to go to sleep.
Oh, you did it late night.
Yeah, it was late.
Busy day.
I got to get off this.
So many busy days, JP.
I click on... You know, I click on sometimes I'll go look at like beach houses or something.
Join the club,
right? Because I am definitely going to get something at some point.
Bung, bung,
but I'll just click on a link, and now the realtor texts me all the
time. Bung, beach.
Like I'm on
yeah,
some...
your number's out there.
Why are you clicking
the ether?
Links? Why don't you just go to Zillow and just look at all the house porn?
I don't know. I click on something
and don't get a realtor involved.
And now I don't mean to. I just go. Like I click on some link
you
online.
Can't help
maybe it's some
yourself.
House I like and. You know, the Outer Banks or something, and now the realtor, every time I click the link, sends me a text. Hey, can I help you? No, douchebag.
I'll say, lose my number.
Lose my number.
That's how you can help me.
God.
So Taylor Lautner, congrats.
Another Taylor Lautner.
Congrats to you. Congrats to them.
It's a fine lead.
I think it's a good lead. Anne Heche, there's not really much to say here, but they're saying her death has been ruled an accident. I'd say so. Plowing into a house. Probably didn't do it on purpose, right, Cakes? She was going about close to, what, 90 miles an hour or something like that.
She was coked up.
Yeah, she was coked up. I think they were saying that even though she had a bottle of vodka in there may not have been alcohol in her system. I'm not sure. Either way, terrible story. She died, I guess, from smoke inhalation and the burn injury.
Right.
Because remember,
when
the accident originally occurred, they thought that she was going to survive it. But the smoke inhalation, that ultimately did her in, and the burn injuries were really, really bad. They've got a new shark. Guest shark on Shark Tank.
Oh,
you guys
Lord.
Know? You guys care to know who it's going to be?
Can you give us a clue?
Yeah, give me a hint.
It's a female. It's
okay.
A female.
Is it an athlete?
Hollywood. Female.
Oh, I think I know. I'm just going
to. You already know?
Not,
television or movie?
Known for movies.
I'm going to throw a dart just because I know that this actress is now a successful entrepreneur.
Yeah, go ahead.
My guess is Jessica Alba.
I'll go Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, that's a good guess,
oh,
too.
Oh, what a great guess.
With the goop.
But I think Alba was a good guess, too.
Do you know anybody who's ever ordered anything besides the junks because it was part of the bit? Ordered anything from goop.com? I don't.
Well, we did the vagina smelling
candle. Right. We did kind of as a bit.
Yeah, we had that.
No, but it must be successful. She's had Goop since 2008.
Valdez is going to start a website called Poop. He's going to make millions.
My duty smelling candle.
See, we're working in tandem here. That's what great comedy teams
Hey, I'm going to have Chepe endorse it.
By the way, I'm glad you brought that up because the building maintenance is definitely working on the Chepe Memorial toilet a few days ago.
Does he have his own toilet?
He has one that he uses
in,
most.
Right?
He's a middle stall guy.
Yeah, he's a middle stall guy.
I'm
first one. Always first one.
Guys are definitely working on the Chepe Memorial toilet.
They're plunging Chepe's toilet.
Oh, it was more than that.
They had a snake involved.
They had all the heavy tools and machinery out. Chepe does work in there.
Would the company be bitter if we put a framed picture of Chepe above the toilet?
No, it should be on the door. On the
get
outside.
The sticker.
Like
he has a sticker on the fridge that says, I love Chepe.
It does.
Somehow get that off and
put
it on the
on his stall.
Yeah, can we do that?
I think we should.
Like his throne.
But yeah. I walked in and I saw the work happening, and I was like, that's happening because of one person in particular, Chepe.
I don't know. I got a weird thing, man. I go for that third stall. I feel like
I'm a first stall guy.
You are? I feel like first stall always gets crushed. I feel like third stall, less usage. And then the fourth, I always stay away from handicap because a lot of people are drawn to that extra space.
Right.
Guy like
sure.
Cakes who takes all
the
clothes
off.
Well,
he can hang up his shirt there.
Yeah, and my backpack and all the other accessories that I'm lugging in there.
Right, right.
The only guy that brings more stuff to the Odyssey building is the rooster. He's the only guy. It brings more stuff here.
He usually has like a bunch of like CVS plastic bags that he's
carrying. He brings
in
like a rolling suitcase.
He does. He looks like he's strolling through the airport.
He looks like he's taking a trip to Miami.
Was he bringing his whole refrigerator to work? Like, what's he doing?
He's got the biggest bag, notebooks everywhere.
They're all the notebooks?
Yeah. I mean, he looks like Seven, the movie Seven. That's how many notebooks he has.
It's not like food.
No.
He has his food.
Dude, he was double fisting this morning. I was like, what do you got? He had old coffee in one hand. He self-described as old. Correct. And he had chicken broth in the other hand.
Is he on the all-liquid diet? Rooster?
He just, he's, you know, he cracked a joke.
He brought like, it like a homemade salad bowl yesterday. Like he was like tossing it in like this like metal thing.
Yeah, like right. If you're having a cookout and you had a salad sitting yeah. On your picnic table, that's what he brought in.
In a money metal bowl. Yeah. That's what he did.
Gotta love it when the 17-year-old intern's joning on
Ross. Hey, I think he's 18. I'll give him credit.
Yeah.
All right, don't forget, before the show was done, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the Beach Boys in concert. So keep listening for your chance to win.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Within the next 10 minutes, we will give the greedy prize pigs a chance to win a pair of Beach Boys tickets. So keep listening for your chance. Right now is not that time.
Not lying. Just an update. Yes. We were just talking about Chepe.
Chepe's in the bathroom
I
right
went
now.
To the bathroom. He went into stall number two. Oh, yeah. And I think we've discussed this before. He is a talk while deucing guy.
Yeah. He'll always have his phone on.
So
listen to music, watch
He
funny
comes
videos.
In, like we've spoken in Spanish before, so he exchanges a pleasantry in Spanish. I say todo bien, which means all's good. And then he goes into the stall, and next thing he goes, you still go to that taco place? And I can, you know, his pants are off already. Because right. One time in Gaithersburg, we ran into each other. At this taco spot. So then all of a sudden we're talking about the taco spot and he's starting to do his business. It's just weird.
He gets very uncomfortable on the air.
Although there's no better spot to talk about tacos than in the bathroom.
That's a very great point. Solid
I will
point
say that
you,
I've said this multiple times. Like I wish when I was younger, I wasn't so stupid, first of all. I wasn't born so dumb. But I also wish that I appreciated languages better because I do think, and JP knows this, I mean, I think the Spanish language is awesome. I was at the UPS. I've said this many, many times, right? Like some languages are just like German language is like harsh. You know? English stinks. I mean, it's our language, but doesn't sound like.
It's not romantic.
Right. There actually is something very endearing when you hear two Spanish people talking. Mm-hmm. I was at, or you know, Hispanics, whatever, I don't know what the politically correct term is, but I was at UPS and there was a
fitting with your hat.
My brown hat. No. Yeah, they said,
"Hey, are you stopping for gas? Why are you back here? Get back out of your route, no, Rick."
I had to send a box somewhere.
Of course you did.
All right. Yeah. And so I actually had to return some of my daughter's Kyrie Irving shoes that were the wrong size that we ordered off of Goat, which Drabby's familiar with.
Okay.
So anyway, there's a woman in front of me, and she's Spanish. She never met the guy behind the counter.
Right.
He's also Hispanic. When I say Spanish, I don't know the difference. Hispanic.
Two Latinos. Two,
whatever they are.
Sure.
They both know Spanish.
Sure.
And they're speaking Spanish. And it's like they've been long lost friends.
Common bond.
I had a conversation with the person. Then I had to wait. I was just the honky with the terrible English conversation.
You're the gringo.
Yeah. And then she came up behind me. Honky. And all of a sudden, it was like two long lost friends were discussing. Yeah. And I felt like they had a secret.
They had a
bond. They're probably talking about you.
Yeah, who knows? But hey. But it, no
but I was just so but there's jealous something there, like, of that bond. You can tell that this person seemed like sympathizing with their fellow Hispanic. With me, I'm just a dummy with a dumb box.
You're one language pony.
You bought Kyrie's question.
Did you know?
Like an outsider.
This floored me when I found out that Ben Affleck speaks fluent Spanish.
Did not know that.
Didn't? Did you know that?
Nope.
Here, hold on. Listen to him on the red carpet.
Is it legit fluent? Is it like JP fluent or is it like real?
La pandemia estaba la cosa más difícil. Si quiere hacer una película, no es una manera de arte como otros.
Yes, it is. Escrito. He speaks fluent Spanish.
He was talking about writing a book. I mean, writing a movie. And
where the hell did you learn script? That?
I don't know. But I thought he was just Babel. I thought he was just some big poker table.
You've never heard
table.
Of Babel? I've heard a million commercials for Babel.
I've heard all the commercials.
It's an radio commercial. He speaks fluent Spanish. And it blew my mind because I thought he was just some blackjack degenerate who smokes like a chimney and eats Dunkin' all day.
Did Ben say, esto es un atraco? This is a stick-up. One of the lines from the town.
Well, and
he didn't really say that in the town. I just made it up.
So this is like a compilation of him on the red carpet speaking to Spanish publications.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So maybe that's why he has that connection also with J-Lo.
La pandemia estaba la cosa más difícil. Si quiere hacer una película,
that's
no
him right
es una manera de arte como otro, como escritor or pintura o algo cuando trabaja solo.
He's a legit Spanish speaker.
Dude, he's like half Hispanic.
You know who can speak Spanish like that?
How the hell does he know how to do that?
My oldest son is fluent.
He lived there.
I know. Okay, he lived there for 1 year, right?
He's fluent in Spanish.
Oh, he's as good as Ben Affleck.
He minored in Spanish in college.
Right, okay, my kids.
He'd be such a doubter and hater.
Because I feel like it takes more than like living there a year and studying it.
No, if you live in a place even for a couple months, you'll speak. Like, I know my brother speaks
as good as Ben Affleck.
He's fluent Spanish speaker.
I think my brother speaks a little bit better Spanish than I.
I don't know how else to explain
it? I'm not disrespecting him, but I just know he just lived.
Yeah, he can
here.
Have a conversation.
Like, right. It doesn't even take that long because I'm telling you, my brother lived in Puerto Rico for like 2 months. Now, we grew up listening to Spanish. We always spoke back in English to our parents. So we always understood everything, but didn't necessarily speak that much. But his like 2 months of living there helped him. Like, he speaks a little bit better than I. I'm a little choppy.
I'm just blown away that Ben Affleck. So now I understand.
But people get sized.
Now I understand the relationship with J-Lo. Like, obviously, there's a physical attraction to attractive people, but they probably has like a cultural bond there, too. If he speaks fluent, she's probably. He's probably in these new panties all the time, Valdez.
I need to translate.
Speaking all sweet nothings in Espanol.
I need to translate.
It is a romance language.
It is. Dude. I need to translate all of the lines from Ben Affleck to the florist in the town and figure out what he would say to him if he were a Spanish speaker.
That's not a revelation to you? Now I totally get.
He lived in Mexico when he was 13. I just read it.
That's what it is. See, I think when you live somewhere when you're a kid, of course you're going to be fluent.
Right, you're immersed in it.
Yeah, but didn't you think Ben was just some lunk?
I thought he was just an alcoholic gambling loser who happened to be talented at like directing and acting.
He'd never been outside of Boston or L.A.
Like, says right here, when he was 13 years old, he and his brother, Casey, lived in Mexico to film a children's TV program.
They moved from Boston.
Yeah. He traveled the country after
Mexico.
That and was able to learn even more. And then it says he's also been caught speaking Spanish on red carpets while traveling for movies.
Doesn't that, I mean,
it makes me look at him differently.
Well, doesn't it make you, now I totally understand the J-Lo connection. Not that J-Lo has to be married to someone that speaks Spanish, but...
But that he understands the culture a little bit?
Yeah, and I mean, they have a bond. I mean, holy Toledo.
Well, they also have, superstars and acting in movies
They
also have the bond of being superstars and acting in movies.
But also, he could speak her romance language. True. Like, in the house all day long.
All right, we're going to hook up the 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067.
I blew your mind.
Blew my mind.
You're going to get a pair of tickets to the Beach Boys concert at Wolf Trap. August 28th is the date of that show. You can buy your tickets now at wolftrap.org, but win them by being the 10th caller on the MGM National Harbor listener.
I like how EB tried to challenge you that your son doesn't speak Spanish.
Right. I mean, I'm sure that, look, my daughter's taken like 6 years. My son's 6 years of Chinese, but I wouldn't consider them fluent. Now, they didn't live in China, but like each have taken like 6 years of Chinese. That's a lot of Chinese. College Chinese, all through high school. I wouldn't consider him fluent.
Hey, if COVID didn't happen, Cakes might speak Spanish because he had a trip that was canceled to Spain.
I would have been the next Ben Affleck.
Wow.
He could have been Paul Gasol.
Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here. We're done for the day. B, Mitch, and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.